He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, coming up, we will talk about what Caleb Williams had to say about Ryan Poles and where the Bears stand now as they get ready for Monday Night Football. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, it's a Thursday. It feels like a Wednesday because Caleb Williams spoke at Hallis Hall. And when he spoke, he talked about really kind of two things. Number one, that losing all of these games is quite the bummer. And number two, that he thinks Ryan Poles can pull the Bears out of this thing eventually.
Let's get in and out of the losing part real quick because that's pretty obvious. But the one thing I want to highlight on it is I think this is the saddest quote I've heard at Hallis Hall this year that I'm about to read to you from their seemingly indefatigable rookie quarterback,
right.
Irrepressible spirit, right. As George McCaskey accurately calls him. And Caleb Williams, before I read you this, to give full context, Caleb Williams was still very optimistic about the Bears' future. But here's the saddest quote I've heard this year at Hallis Hall. "This is my first time being part of something like this, of losing and this streak going. So I ask questions to the guys that may have lost a bunch of games in a row, or like this, or had losing seasons. I ask them questions because the more knowledge that I have prepares me for the future if this ever comes close to something like this again." It is sad that he is having to acclimate to losing like this. I think he lost 8 games in his last 2 years combined at USC, and he's lost 9 this year. It's sad that Caleb Williams is having to acclimate to what most of us know as Bears lifestyle, and that if he wants to talk to guys who have been on bad teams and been on losing streaks, he has an incredible library of options to talk to in this locker room.
Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson.
Guys who know nothing but losing in their careers.
Patrick Scales, who's still hanging around as he is hurt. He's been here for a long time. There are lots of great resources you can go to talk about losing streaks. Shoot, the equipment guy, Tony Medlin's probably got some wonderful stories from the last 40 years. It's depressing. And, you know, Caleb said it eagerly, said it in the sense of, I've talked to guys because I'm trying to figure out how to deal with this on my own. And then, you know, Jalen said later when we spoke to him something along the lines of, if I got depressed every time we lost, I'd be pretty miserable to live with, or something like that.
Well, he looked pretty depressed. Jalen did leading up to the Detroit game.
Right.
That was like a funeral the day that he talked at the microphone on like the Monday of the Detroit game. He seemed a little more chipper today. But let's get to the more important Caleb Williams topic here, him and Ryan Poles. This structure, this power structure that Caleb Williams walked into as a draft pick out of USC is totally different already. Matt Eberflus is not here. Shane Waldron is not here. And Ryan Poles has gotten a warning shot from Kevin Warren. Once they say that your job is safe, they will only say that once. So it is clearly 2025 or bust for Ryan Poles. But I like to think of it kind of like this, Pat. There are 5 critical positions at Hallis Hall. It's owner, team president, GM, head coach, which is vacant at the moment, and starting quarterback. And Caleb Williams is not necessarily part of the Bears organization in the sense that he is his own entity. He was his own entity coming into the draft. Ryan Poles, in some ways, works for him. In some ways, Ryan Poles needs to do things that accelerate Caleb Williams' career and that are that satisfy Caleb Williams not wanting to play on a 4-9 team. What do you make of what he said about Ryan Poles and their relationship, and kind of you know, really about his confidence or lack of it or whatever in Ryan Poles handling his career to a big extent?
There's belief, hope, and faith that we're going to get this right, however it may happen, he said. That's not, I know it's going to happen.
That's always what it is here, though, yeah. Pat. It's always belief. The Bears are always asking you for faith. They right. are not showing you results and saying, look what we've done. Here's the evidence. They're asking you to buy into something that you haven't seen.
I think Caleb went above and beyond what he had to say, which is probably, you know, if you're in this position, and I think the question that started it was, how has your relationship with Ryan Poles grown this year? You know, he starts off with, well, I got to know him because, you know, we're in the same building every day. And then he kind of continued on and said, I think kind of more than just your boilerplate activity. You see how much he cares about the right things, that being us and our development and all those things. The amount that he cares about us, the Chicago Bears, and wanting to win is why I have my faith in him, believing in him, and making sure we get it right. That's the short answer to it. I mean, it's an endorsement, and it's an endorsement by the most important person in this building. He is not the most powerful person in this building, though, and that's Kevin Warren. And, you know, this is what we know. 10 days ago, Kevin Warren came out and said, I'll read it directly, Ryan Poles is the general manager of the Chicago Bears, and he will remain the general manager of the Chicago Bears. Ryan's young, he's talented, he's bright, he's hardworking, he's done everything in his power on a daily basis to bring a winner to Chicago, and I'm confident in Ryan. My faith remains strong in Ryan.
He went on to say that if there's a toss-up or any kind of dispute about the next coach, it's Ryan's call.
Yeah, we got there eventually.
He couched that with some other things, but he did say that sentence is on the record, clear as day. And on the other side, you know, there's all this speculation, and that is all it is right now, that Ryan Poles would resign or something like that. I don't see any sense in that. I couldn't imagine him wanting to do anything other than try to patch the parts of this rebuild that need to be patched. And he's still only, 7 months removed from drafting what everybody, not just him, believes is a game changer at quarterback. There's always going to be a lot of speculation. There's always going to be people just guessing at what they think will happen or what they would do or something like that. But the thing I would have liked to have heard from Caleb would have been more faith in Ryan Poles as a personnel guy than Ryan Poles has been really nice to me.
Yeah.
Ryan Poles is 39 years old. Caleb Williams is 23. You know, that's kind of big brother, little brother a little bit, you know. And Ryan Poles, part of all of his lead up to drafting Caleb Williams had been positive, had been relationship building. Ryan Poles can be a nice guy and a good person and still have horribly failed Caleb Williams on the football field with Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron, and the offensive line.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right. It would have been better if we had heard Caleb be like, man, have you seen Darnell Wright? Like, he's really good. Like, how about, you know, and maybe there's just not a lot of personnel success stories to point to, but, you know, you could sit there and say, he developed this guy. He drafted this guy. Boy, this guy was, a fifth-round pick, and look what he's doing now. Like, that would feel like more of a convincing argument, I guess. I also look back to Jason. I mean, I remember when you got your first job, I really liked my first boss because he was the one who gave me a job. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of it, too.
And Caleb, for all as worldly and mature and intelligent and savvy as he is, mm-hmm. he's still 23.
Right.
There's still a lot he doesn't know, and there is a lot that is shaded for him by, do I like this person?
Sure.
And of course he likes Ryan Poles. Of course they get along well on a personal level.
There's still a month of football left, and a lot can happen here, Jason. and Kevin Warren saying, with 5 games to go, Ryan Poles is our GM and will remain our GM going forward, pretty definitive to me. But is there a world where a coach that they like sits there and goes, I'm coming, but only if I can bring my own personnel guy? Or would that just be too difficult of a thing to walk back if you're the Bears?
Well, I doubt that they're interviewing someone that would have the leverage to say that.
Right.
I mean, even these top candidates like Ben Johnson isn't. Where is Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury going to get a job where they're going to fire the GM that's hiring them? Or, I mean, it just that seems very unlikely. That's what happens if you're hiring Bill Belichick. For
right.
sure, that's what's happening if you hire you. Right. We said that from the beginning when we talked about that option. I think in the last few weeks that Ryan Poles would be at best case scenario demoting himself by hiring Bill Belichick. I just don't see that happening, Patrick. And I don't really think that a lot can change in these last 4 games from a football standpoint. I don't think that in the final 5 games since, Kevin Warren says that, the 49ers game that just happened and the remaining four games, I don't think anything that takes place on the field is really going to shift things because it was done. It was over. The season was shot. The mistakes had been made. It is a little bit of a free-for-all right now, other than for the Bears, other than you want to see continued growth from Kayla Williams and you want to evaluate Thomas Brown as an interim coach. But their season's already over. There's already nothing to play for. It's already hard enough for Thomas Brown, I think, to rally the enthusiasm and the buy-in from guys to not just every man for himself. Everyone just do whatever you need to do to try to help your contract situation. And it's the ship had sunk.
Right.
So, and you start putting guys on IR too. Like, you know, one of the things that came up with Thomas Brown today that he didn't answer is whether it's possible Jaquan Brisker would be activated. There would be no reason to activate Jaquan Brisker at this point for the last four games. I mean, you're going to get to maybe not this week, but I think pretty quickly, especially going into that Seattle game on a short week, probably see a lot of guys sit out that game.
I wonder what the effect of another month of this just emotionally is going to have on people. I mean, you have your quarterback sitting here talking about how depressing it is. What if it gets to 10 or 11 games? I mean, you're correct in that nothing that happens on the football field is going to change, you know, the end result of this season. But I just wonder if there is a aggregate feeling that becomes that prompts more action. I mean, I don't think it would. Like I said, we have the president saying we're not going to, you know, this guy's our guy next year.
I think it's really just Caleb and Thomas Brown right now. Mm-hmm. And Thomas Brown, by the way, off to a horrible start with that audition. 38-13 and looking pretty lifeless in the first half. Not good. I sympathize because I don't think he was put in a great position to begin with.
Right.
But it's really about those two right now. And, I mean, if you have decided, as Kevin Warren, you've decided, hey, more good than bad here on Ryan Poles ledger. I generally like what his plan is. I generally like what he has built. I don't think the team unraveling under an interim coach with as more and more guys exit the active roster over the final few weeks is going to sway that. If you were sitting there and you said, I don't really feel great about Ryan Poles, this isn't what Kevin Warren said, but if this is what anybody was thinking at the time they fired Matt Eberflus, oh, well, horrible decisions with the coaching staff, with the offensive coordinators, with the offensive line, with Tyreek Stevenson, with the Claypool trade, all these things have already made your opinion of that Ryan Poles not the guy for the Bears. I don't think that things going better on the field over the final 5 weeks would have sold you and said, oh, right. Jarvon Dexter's really good. Maybe we should keep Jarvon Dexter's getting better. Maybe we should keep Ryan Poles. Rome Odunze is developed into a true number one by the end of his rookie season. I think we should keep Ryan Poles. Like, I think that everything was decided for the Bears at the end of the Thanksgiving game. It was Eberflus out, still believe in Poles, and I just don't think anything that transpires on the field after a season has already been lost like that is going to influence any kind of movement in the front office.
Were they decided by decisive decision makers?
Yes.
Kevin Warren has a habit of, I think, injecting himself into all conversations, and that's not a knock on him. That's just kind of the way he operates.
That's his job.
Yeah.
He runs the place.
And, you know, he made it clear, when he said, yeah, Ryan's going to be the point guy, he made it clear that, you know, he wasn't going to step aside and watch Ryan do the search and that they were going to be partners.
That's not profound, though, Pet. That's
no. I mean,
that's how it is always going. Ted Phillips was involved.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. And, again, the idea that Kevin Warren is some football guy. Like, he's not a football guy. He's a business guy who's worked at football teams. Like, he shouldn't be making the hire any more than Ted Phillips should have been making the hire.
I think he said that, didn't he? Didn't he say something to that effect, Kevin Warren?
That he's not a football guy?
That Ryan has more expertise in this than him.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah,
he said something like that.
Real quick, let's get to the Monday night game, Jason. It's a clean sweep of Sun-Times picks. Everybody has got the Vikings. I don't want to get too deep into what the scores are or anything like that, but roughly they're between 10 and 20 points. Is this thing going to be ugly?
I think they've won their last game.
Really?
And isn't it crazy to think how long ago that was? I mean, that was October 13th.
In London.
In London. It's almost 2 full months ago at the time we record this on December 12th. And I think that's going to end up being their last win. I just can't. I think that their roster will continue to dwindle. Anyone that's got anything has got a justification to either sit themselves out or for management to say, we're not chancing it with so-and-so's ankle or knee over some meaningless games. The teams always lie to you about this, but the draft pick starts to factor into things. The Bears have the number 9 pick right now. They're not at all out of reach of even the number 1 pick, but certainly...
Yeah, they are.
No, they're mathematically alive for it, but certainly a plausible chance at a top 5 pick still if they plunge through all the way and finish 4-13. 4-13 got you the number 2 pick last year.
There are a lot of bad teams this year, though, in a way that there wasn't last year. But anyway, yes.
And no, I can't see any of these teams letting up on them. Minnesota needs the game. Detroit the week after needs the game. Seattle will need the game. The only team that might not need the game is Green Bay. And, man, would that be the saddest statement of this rivalry is if Matt LaFleur was to say, we're in, we're seated. I don't even care enough about the Bears to waste my time with Jordan Love and whoever else playing. I'm going to sit my guys, and the Bears would break their losing streak against Green Bay, theoretically, in the the saddest, most illegitimate way possible. And at a time that Pat would, of course, on top of that, be detrimental to their future draft-wise.
We wrote about this in the Sun-Times. I think that if they win, it'll be the day after Christmas against the Seahawks, just because the wrong team wins on Thursdays. That's my...
Hey, I was going to ask you about that. So the NFL puts teams, when they're playing on Thursdays, on a short week like that, they put them at home the Sunday before. Maybe without exception. That's a hike. And I know that Seattle is used to it because they have to travel west to east and great distances all the time. But if you were the Seahawks, wouldn't you have requested to have whatever is your nearest game, road game, which I believe might have been at the Lions, wouldn't you have requested a game somewhat in the Midwest for that Sunday rather than coming from Seattle to Chicago on Wednesday?
Yeah, they play at home against the Vikings the week before.
They had a game either at Detroit or at Green Bay. I can't remember, but I would have wanted, I think it was at Detroit. It might still be coming up, but I would have wanted to be in the area.
Right.
If I was coming from the West Coast like that on a short week, I would have rather set up shop somewhere in the Midwest for the week and played the Lions and played the Bears.
Most depressing Christmas morning ever.
Man, you're at work. Come on. This is a job. You're at work.
You're waking up in a Hilton with your family back in Seattle. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes to that, especially after a game against the Vikings that is going to be pretty taxing, I'm sure, for Seattle. Anything before we go, Jason?
Bears are not above laying down either. I mean, it'd be a really bad look at this moment. Mm-hmm. But we saw this administration do it at the end of 2022.
Yep.
They said everybody. Justin Fields later was like, I'm not really hurt or whatever. I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, yeah, I could have played.
Right.
But the Bears probably lose that game anyway, but they wanted to make sure that they
at 80%
lost that game. So they played Peterman and Boyle. And
Peterman was doing too well, and they had to put Boyle in. It was a thing. Jason, do you remember?
We had to pull the pin on Boyle. It was getting too close.
Do you remember when we thought that, that stuff was in our rearview mirror? Ugh. Good times.
It is the sports story of the year in Chicago, and there's been a lot of bad sports in Chicago this year. It is the sports story of the year that this Bears team, with the number one pick, with all the Hard Knocks hype, with a rebuild being finished in theory, ends up having things disintegrate to an extent where they fire a coach in season for the first time in 105 years or whatever it's been of their history, that it has gone this far south on them at a time when everybody bought in.
Yep.
In Chicago. It is the sports story of the year in Chicago for all of the wrong reasons.
And this is in a year where the hockey team fired their coach, one of the baseball teams fired their manager. I believe the Sky fired their coach. I believe the Red Stars, who aren't the Red Stars anymore, fired their coach.
Everybody but Billy Donovan. Everybody but the Bulls has fired their coach in about the last year.
It's a good time to be a moving company. I bet they tip
or
well.
Or a realtor, yeah. Or Billy Donovan.
Or Billy Donovan, yeah. You know, it's always a good time to be Billy Donovan.
It is.
Even when his team's playing like this. Jason, that'll do it for us here. We will be back again Monday night to talk about the Vikings game, which, by the way, starts at 7 and not 7:15 because there's a doubleheader.
When the Bears lose that game, that will be their eighth in a row, which will tie the second longest losing streak in franchise history.
We're going to leave it at that. I was leaving it on like a scheduling note. Anyway, we will be back to talk about all that. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll be back again real soon.